Welcome back to Hero Talk with Talix and Trev. I'm Talix.
And I'm Trev.
And today, we're going solo.
With?
Solo. A Star Wars story. Yes, we are. So, Trev, what do you call a person that bites you from behind? Chewbacca.
I get it. Chew.
Now it's time for just give me the line.
Okay, so mine is tick, 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 tick. Because he was trying to get the card at the end, but it wouldn't come out. There's nothing there.
Yeah, that was a good one. My favorite one was on L3. They was just like, hey, I can't do it when you guys are looking at me. I can't perform when you're looking at me. I can feel you looking at me. Now it's time for us to do the MVP. So, Trev, who's your MVP?
My MVP is Chewbacca.
Okay, why? Why Chewbacca?
Because without him, they wouldn't have the strength to move all those stuff in there. He wouldn't have saved his family for the extra help. And then, there would be no point in that movie whatsoever.
I can understand that. I think that he definitely did come in, you know, in the clutch when they were in that mine here. He had to get off that planet, because had it not been for all those Wookiees helping, they wouldn't have not been able to get off that planet. So, yeah, you definitely had a good one on that one. But my pick for the winner is Lando Calrissian. Now, Lando, if it weren't for Lando and the Millennium Falcon, they'd have not gotten out of that situation. They wouldn't have been able to get out of there. It wouldn't have been fast enough, and it wouldn't have been good enough for them to get out of there. So had they not had Lando with them, they'd have failed, and they would have not made that Kessel run in 12 parsecs.
But without Chewie, they wouldn't get to that point at all.
Well, they wouldn't have been able to get there at all either without Lando, because Lando had the ship. Lando had the resources, and Lando was able to get them there.
But if it wasn't for him on that train part, they wouldn't be able to get anything else done.
Yeah, but on that whole train part, had they done it a better job of it, then a lot of people probably wouldn't have died.
That was their decision.
Yeah, well, they decision and they died, so.
Now it's time for the MVL. Talents, what is your MVL?
Drayden. The bad guy. The main bad guy. Come on, like, you came in with your plan. You were just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to try to exploit everybody and make everybody do my work and stuff like that. And you end up losing. You end up losing because basically he steals everybody else's ideas and tries to make them sound like he did it. And then try to take the credit for everything. And so, all in all, in the end, he ended up dying because he wasn't smart like he thought he was. He was just mean and would kill people. So, he lost in multiple ways.
Okay. So, what's that red guy's name who showed up at the end?
Darth Maul?
Yes. I think that's the MVL. Just because he showed up, used the Force to get a lightsaber, stood up, and made the lightsaber part come out.
And that's all he did?
Yep. Yeah. And then he just sat there looking evil.
Yeah. You know. He's probably going to split one day. All right, Trev, so what is your favorite setting in the movie?
I was wondering if I could change it to settings.
Okay.
Because I had multiple. So, my first favorite setting was the Millennium Falcon.
Yes, that was pretty cool.
I loved that. And then I loved the way that the or whatever that place was.
Like how that looked?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that my favorite setting was, I think, the jungle planet that they were on at the end, and the ice planet that they were on earlier on in the movie when they were trying to hijack the train.
Yeah, I pretty much liked everything.
Yeah, it was like, it had a lot of great settings all over. Okay, so real quick, as a quick aside, if you could live on a planet that was just like, you know how you have your ice planet, your desert planet, your ocean planet, like what kind of planet would you like to live on?
I'd like to live on a plant planet.
Like a plant planet, like a big jungle?
Yeah.
Okay, I could hear that. I think
I get to hang around with the monkeys, and then I can become a lion tamer, and then I can go hunt with wolves.
Okay, I could feel you on that one. I think if I could get a planet, I would probably live on a planet that was like mostly water but had a whole bunch of beaches so that I could do a whole bunch of like aquatic stuff, like go swimming, go out, play with the dolphins and stuff like that and enjoy myself. I think that'd be real good. Plus, get a whole bunch of fish. You can get the fish every day. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, but at one point, there would be no more fish.
No, if it's a whole planet of ocean, then it's going to be a lot of fish.
Eventually.
How am I going to eat all the fish? I can't.
Yes, you can.
Not one person can't eat all the fish on a planet by himself. I can't.
You said it wasn't a fish that was microscopic.
So, it still could be little bitty fish, and there could be plenty more of them planktons, actually. So,
I don't think those count.
It'll be all right. I could live on my little fish diet. All right, Trail. So, what was your favorite costume in the movie?
I like that big octopus-looking thing.
Okay, so you like the design for the big octopus that was in the maelstrom?
Yep, that was my first favorite.
Okay.
Actually, I had two. My second favorite was Han Solo. I like that one a lot.
Just like the brown jacket and everything like that. That's cool.
It kind of reminded me of Finn.
Yeah, it does. A lot of reminded me of Finn. My favorite costume design was pretty much anything Lando was wearing, like from the big black fur coat or the yellow, you know, shirt with the kind of like the silky scarf tie thing, or like the tropical one that he had at the end. I think all of his outfits were pretty awesome.
Now that we have costumes out of the way, let's go into a favorite scene. Now, my favorite scene was when the big octopus thing was just attacking. I like the way it looked. And the teeth looked like he had a whole bunch of chocolate.
That's disgusting.
And burnt chocolate all over his teeth.
I would say my favorite part was, or my favorite scene, so to say, was when they were flying through the maelstrom. I think it was just like really cool because it kept you on the edge of your seat because you were really excited to see whether they're going to make it. Because it was kind of scary because you just like, oh, man, they're not going to make it. They're just flying planets and stuff like that. And then they say something about earlier in the movie. They're just like, oh, yeah, some things they might be living out there. And then the octopus thing that's out there is just like, man, that is crazy. And so that was like that whole 12 parsec, that whole Kessel Run was awesome.
Oh, I have a connection.
Okay.
It sort of reminded me of the It from A Wrinkle in Time.
Okay, explain to me.
The blackish kind of stuff, and then like a blue background, and it's all just coming together like...
Okay, I can see you on that one.
Same place of roots and stuff.
Speaking of connections, didn't the train scene, when they were trying to get the train or trying to get the stuff in the first beginning of the movie, didn't that seem a lot like Captain America, the First Avenger?
Yes.
When Bucky got shot out of the thing by the guy?
Yes, and another connection to Marvel. One of those ships looked like the ones from Thor: The Dark World.
You're talking about the long one, like the long ships?
Yes.
Okay. I can see that. But we're going to kind of get more into that stuff in fun facts. But it just kind of like, as you were talking, I kind of wanted to do that. So let's roll on to our next segment. All right, now it's time for That Doesn't Make Sense. So what's something you saw, Trev, that didn't make sense?
Something that I saw that doesn't make sense is that when the captain got exploded, the other person became captain.
Mm-hmm.
How come he didn't know he was going to be the next person?
Oh, well, that actually made sense because remember they weren't actually in the military. They snuck in. And so that's why he got, that's why he said, oh, you're the captain or whatever. And then he's like, oh, yeah, well, you're right. And because he looked at his armor and stuff like that.
Wait. Oh, that explains one of the things that doesn't make sense.
Right.
Yeah, the other thing is, how did that, it was like, it was something, I can't remember. How come it was that far? Why would you choose that villain? I mean, it doesn't make sense. You got people like Darth Vader still around.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It doesn't make much sense. I mean, you can do whatever you want. It's your movie. You can make like a part two or something. But I just don't choose why you pick him.
I think that one of the things that can be done with the Star Wars, like, universe is to have movies that don't always feature Jedi or Sith. And I think that kind of, like, plays to a strength. Just kind of like how some of the Marvel movies don't always follow the same script or whatever. Like how, Thor Ragnarok was kind of like a buddy cop movie in space or whatever. And it was real psychedelic. And how Doctor Strange was just like a mystical, magical kind of thing or whatnot, and how Ant-Man was just kind of like a heist movie. Like, you can do different kinds of movies, and it doesn't really have to fall within the same direction of all the other Star Wars movies, because then it becomes boring, because it's always the same movies all the time. All you're going to just see is Jedis flipping around, using their lightsabers and all that stuff, and so it's a lot better to not always do that way. My thing that doesn't make sense is why exactly does Han know how to speak Wookiee? Like, how does he know? Like, that? Like, they didn't even give us anything to say that
they
he anyway.
The same thing, but some longer than others.
Right, but it's just like, it never even showed him. It'd be different if they were just like, oh, it was like maybe they show like a Wookiee in the background that he knew as a little kid or something like that, where he can know a little bit. Because he just went from just saying, oh, I know a little bit, to being able to have this whole conversation and they planning on getting out. It just like, I don't feel like they built that up or gave that indication of that he knew it before he needed it in the movie. That just didn't make sense to me.
Now it's time for That's Funny. Now, something that I saw that was funny was when I forgot her name, but she was just banging the cloak on the ground, trying to stop the fire,
mm-hmm.
And Lando was just like, stop, and costume set.
It was a custom piece. That yes. Was pretty funny. What was funny to me was, and it was kind of like a throwback to what you heard in a different movie or whatever, because Han makes mention of, you don't want to make a Wookiee mad because sometimes he'll rip your arms off. He tells this to Luke or whatever. And in the elevator, when they're fighting the people, Chewie literally rips the guy's arm off. So it was really funny just to like make that connection, so he wasn't lying. Like, Han was telling the truth during that time. All right, so let's go our segment. I need that. So what's something in the movie that you would have really liked to have?
I would really like to have a Wookiee and one of those octopus things.
I want to have one of the droids. I'm not sure which make and model droid I want. I'd have to think about that a little bit, but have a droid companion that you can kind of go and hang out with and do stuff with and go on adventures with, that would be awesome. Yeah. All right, time for debate this. So my question is, who was the biggest traitor in the movie?
Kira.
There's
no way you're going to debate against that and win.
Beckett.
Okay, sure. He's going to...
Because think about it. Beckett was literally going to kill Han Solo at the end of the movie. He had turned over. He was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to leave. And then he comes in and betrays him. He plays a little finger, basically says, oh, don't trust nobody. And he betrays everybody. The whole time he just sits there and betrays. And then, even at the beginning of the movie, when we were talking about how he had a real close-knit team, he was like, he ain't even trust them after they passed. So, come on, man. You just being trash.
Okay, I see that. But Kira went back and forth. Like 10 times.
She did do that.
And then, in the end, probably one of the biggest bad guys in Star Wars, she ends up working for. That's a big betrayal right there.
Yeah.
Big, especially what happened.
That is a big betrayal, but at least she let everybody go. At least she let everybody go. Beckett was, like I said, finna kill somebody. He was finna kill Han Solo. He was probably gonna kill Chewbacca if he could after he got the Wookiee to carry everything he needed to carry because he wasn't gonna be able to carry it for himself. And then he betrayed him before that. It just like he continued to do it. And I'm just like, I knew it. Like when he opened that door and said, oh yeah, I got an accomplice on the inside, I knew it was Beckett before I even saw his little ugly hair. So I knew he did it.
Okay, good point. But, you see, she double-crossed the person that she betrayed the first time.
Yeah, she did kind of betray everybody.
And then, lie about that.
Yeah, she did kind of do that. So, but at the very same time, Beckett did shoot down all the different people that was in the room, too.
Yes. He wanted to try and get it done because he didn't want anything major to happen. She was going to take out everybody in the room like...
We'll see. We'll let our listeners decide.
I'm pretty sure I won.
I doubt that. All right, time for super upgrades. So anything that you feel that we should have upgraded in this movie?
No, and if you guys do remember all those extra explosions, those big ones that I needed at one point in the movie, they made up for all of those explosions times three.
Okay, so you really don't feel they sold any upgrades. And I think that... Overall, they did a pretty good job. I can't really think of anything that I wanted them to do more of because I think that they did a pretty good job of displaying the characters, giving everybody motivations, giving everybody screen time and everything like that. It was just kind of like everybody was able to have some fun and do everything. So I think it was pretty good. They really didn't need that many upgrades at all. All right, now it's time for Rated or Hated. So between 0 to 5... Millennium Falcons, what do you give Solo, A Star Wars Story?
I give it as close to a 5 as I can. Just because. I can't believe I'm saying this, but they had a quarter too many explosions.
Okay. I think that I give it a 4 out of 5. I think it was a good story all over. I think it was a fun story, and I think it was a way to move away from always focusing on the Jedi within Star Wars, and so it kind of made it interesting. So everything didn't just come down to a fight to where you just do lightsaber fights all the time. It was like, okay, where it's a blaster fight where you had to do some hand-to-hand combat. You had to come up with some different ways to get rid of different people and everything like that. And so I think the stakes kind of were a little bit higher, because if it's just like a Jedi, you're like, okay, that's not going to kill a Jedi. Yeah. But if it's a person that can't use the Force, then it's just like, oh man, that might be a little bit dangerous. And so I think that they did a good job overall. I think that the costume design, the scenery, the settings and all that stuff, the acting and all that stuff was great. And so I think that was pretty awesome. So 4 out of 5 for me. All right, now it is time for fun facts. And I'm going to link a couple of movies and stuff together. It is going to be interesting and fun. Number one, Emilia Clarke, Kira. She is Khaleesi in the Game of Thrones series. We got Woody Harrelson, who plays in some of literally everything, who was Haymitch in the Hunger Games. We've got Warwick Davis, who has played in literally some of everything from Leprechaun to Harry Potter. Can you guess who Warwick Davis played in Harry Potter?
I don't know who Warwick Davis looks like.
Okay, so Warwick Davis was the little person that was in the Marauders group. So who did he play in Harry Potter?
Peter Pettigrew.
No, not Peter Pettigrew. He played Professor Flitwick. He is in some of everything. We're going to see. We're going to come back. Like, trust me. Like, we're going to bounce back and see a lot of Warwick Davis in some of our episodes and stuff like that. So I just kind of wanted to point that out to you. It had a whole bunch of different things. It's just like a whole bunch of callbacks. Like I said, like the callback to him winning the Falcon, the callback to Chewie ripping people's arms off. It was just chock full of different things. All right, so let's wrap this up with some news. Once again, we're on the prowl. We're trying to get to that 3,000 download mark by the end of February. So like, share, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, leave us a nice comment. Hit us up in our email, herotalktt@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter @herotalk1. Hit us up on Instagram, herotalktt is also on Instagram as well. Give us a follow there. We are having a sale as of today through this week in our Teespring store. So most definitely check that out. It's at herotalk at Teesprings. All the stuff, all the details of everything is in our show notes, so most definitely check those out. We're looking to continue to expand, so if you guys have any suggestions, anything that you wanted to add to it, you think that we can do a little bit better, let us know. We'll try to add it to the show and improve our show, because we always want to give you the best entertainment that we possibly can. So, are you ready to wrap this up?
Yep.
This has been Hero Talk with Talix and Trev. I'm Talix.
And I'm Trev.
Because when there's a hero...
we talk.